Hello and welcome to the next episode of Marketing Insights by Drew and Rose. In this episode, we're going to be covering summary and the kind of development of how AI tools and automation can be built into your marketing strategy. In this episode, I'm joined by our digital strategist, Adriana.
Hello, everyone.
And recently, Addy, we were covering this topic in our Marketer Moments events. And Marketer Moments is a monthly kind of training and development community, really, so that we can just work with our marketeers in our community to really address some of the challenges and build like a really safe space for us to talk about things that are happening. And in our January event, we covered AI tools. It was about 10 months ago, we did a review of the most, it's kind of the budding AI tools that were coming onto the market. And then at the end of January, we did a comparison 10 months on what that was like. And that was really interesting just to see how quickly they really developed. So in this podcast, we're going to cover some of the bits that we did in the event and just a little bit more of a discussion on how would you kind of build AI into the marketing strategy. And just some of our thoughts and views, following the debate and discussion that we had within our Marketer Moments events. So, Addy, what did you find the most interesting part of the tools that we were covering in the event and how they've developed?
Yes. So for me, it was the ability of AI to make everything much more realistic. Only 10 months ago, when we were looking at the version one, version two of Midjourney, for example, when we briefed in a person, a portrait, there were slight defects in the person. You couldn't really notice that they were 100% human. There was a lot of pixelation. While when we started to see in version four and version five that have come out recently, the portions of a person are much more realistic. You can even see the pores of someone's face when you are briefing a portrait in. And even to the point where now when we have version 5.1 or version 5.2, it's so realistic and so human-like. It feels a bit uncanny. It looks a bit too perfect as well. So we can see that progress that the AI has done so much work on making it look as human as possible. For me, at least, it doesn't even look that human anymore of how perfect it is.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think what you're referring to, version five, and that was around Midjourney. So we threw up on the screen kind of images of, from version one all the way through to version five, version 5.2. And we rewind 9-10 months ago, and we were really talking about what was the prompt you had to put in and how important that prompt was and how unrealistic it is. And then there's certain versions where it's become too realistic that it almost looks fake. And now you're at the point where you can prompt the style you want it because it's just so clever in how far it's come.
It's how we see it with ChatGPT as well. Before, there was even courses created on how to prompt it to bring the best type of way of writing for ChatGPT prompts. But nowadays, you can talk to it just like a human and actually complement the style for it to bring other options. And there's so many infinite possibilities rather than how it was 10, 12 months ago.
Yeah, it's really interesting with the prompts because I remember talking about it quite a lot during that time that, you have to do it in levels and you need to think about what you're prompting. Whereas now it's just so clever in how, obviously what it is learning all the time because it's just conversational and you can just pop things in and not even think about it. So it's really cool to see how that's come along. And even in some of the legal cases around it, it was really interesting talking about, the safety in using something like Adobe Firefly because, all the references and things that have been created are licensed by Adobe. So the Adobe things are safer compared to, some of the cases that have happened where, Getty Images have also been suing the likes of Midjourney and others. And there's other cases around it. And I thought what was really interesting in that debate was don't get caught up too much in these tools. The law, IP law around it all still is the same, whether you're briefing a designer on it versus, you know, briefing Midjourney or others. But it was interesting around the consensus of, but Adobe Firefly is probably a little bit safer, or the Adobe products are a little bit safer to use.
Yeah, I agree. It's the same with AI generated music. We looked at a few tools such as Stable Audio, and how with just any type of description works, with any type of prompts, we could get a vibe, a music that follows a specific aesthetic. For example, we created a piece of music that was prompted with the phrase bamboo architecture, and it created a similar sound to what you'd imagine how it would feel like being within that space. But as you said before, if this was something to do with briefing it, the Stable Audio, based on a specific artist or trying to imitate a specific song, then the IP laws would still be implied there.
Yeah, sure. And I really loved that with the Stable Audio, because we were testing those audio platforms out just 9 months ago. And I think with Stable, we put it up on the screen. I think it was like $11.99 a month, a subscription. Like, we need to check it. Obviously, they're going to change all the time. But that subscription for unlimited, like, really cool, nice music that you can then start using in ads and content, compared to, you know, us constantly having to go through like Audio Jungle and pay sometimes $50, $100, $150 for a track. So yeah, that was really cool to see that. It's going to be really interesting to see how that model and all of those suppliers really change over the next few months.
I completely agree.
One of the other tools that I thought was really interesting that we went through was the add-on that Shanchan showed us with this zoom out function. Again, it sits in the Adobe Firefly and Adobe Creative Cloud suites, and you can create a few layers and then it will just start to zoom out like through multiple layers. It's really hard to describe just through audio, but you can see some of the beta stages, videos and demonstrations. I thought it was really fascinating, like how that's going to impact content and even advertising moving forward.
Yeah, it's called Infinite Zoom, I think. And with that, it just creates over and over different perspectives depending how far away you zoom out. It's been used actually on social media quite a lot as a trend on TikTok, to see how you zoom out of a specific artwork, or for example, if you have a image of a still of a movie, how it would auto-generate a border for that movie. So we're seeing it being used also a bit on social media and in the mainstream of how people are bringing in AI to it as well.
So another tool that we were discussing in our Marketer Moments events was HeyGen. This is a really interesting video tool, but translates. So you can use your AI created character and upload your script, and then have that video. So it might be an explainer video or just like an internal comms one to start off with. And then you can translate it into all different languages, so really quickly and with a really cheap subscription, which I thought was really cool. Then the alternative is you upload a video of yourself, and then the tool will then convert your video into multiple languages with a really close lip sync result. It's really, really interesting.
Yeah. It's really interesting to see how you can upload your own content. Something about HeyGen and other AI tools that we have to look into is that your content that you upload might be used for training for the platform, and their privacy policies don't really tell you how much your content will be used for training or for helping AI grow. So that's something to have in mind whenever you upload any videos or images to platforms like HeyGen or Midjourney.
Yeah, really, really good point. And I think with AI tools, as in what it was like with social media and all of that, and even now, I mean, if we look at the reviews, you know, in the US that are happening right now, all of those things still apply. So everything comes with caution. Know once you're putting anything online, whether it's an AI tool or other, you don't truly own it, and you don't really have that much control over where it's going to go or it's going to be used. So, you know, never put anything up that's too commercially sensitive or isn't meant to be in the public domain, because ultimately, just like with the IP law, these tools are no different to the social tools we've been using for the last 10 years. So moving away from like the tools and thinking about sort of other content, social, SEO, I think one of the biggest things that came out of our discussions in January was the impact or the development on SEO.
Yes, search engines such as Google and Bing, they're currently using and testing AI, giving specific answers to people rather than having articles listed out. They have Copilot, for example, with Bing, where it just replies to your question. So for example, if you're asking what's the best dishwasher, they'll give you a list based on auto-generative answers from the web. Now, this is very different to the strategy that SEO has had in a lot of marketing strategies and in marketing companies, that SEO isn't now just checking your meta descriptions, being part of a checklist. To improve your discoverability and future-proof your SEO in the future with AI, you will need to make sure that your brand is being mentioned and talked about in places where AI learns. So for example, if you're a dishwasher company and somebody is getting an auto-generated response from Google, you need to see where could my brand be so that AI learns about it and is present where people and communities are talking about it.
Yeah, it's so interesting how that is developing. And I think it's obviously because SEO takes a long time to kick in, it's really something that you really want to get ahead of. Well, now, really.
Yes, we don't really know how the future of search will be 100%. But what we do know is that making sure that your brand, your company, your services are being talked about in other places rather than just in blogs or in other publications. We're talking about social media, in forums, hopefully in a positive way, then that's where AI, the learning models, are grabbing their information from and training themselves in.
So the next part of the event, we were really talking about how the social schedulers have moved on, and even some of the ones we're testing, which I thought was really fascinating.
Yes. So as many of you might use Sprout, Hootsuite, even Planable, the majority of them are using AI to incorporate into planning and content creation. For example, with Sprout or Planable, what they will use is something very similar to ChatGPT. They'll be able to generate a piece of content based on phrase or a topic that you'd like to talk about. That is really interesting, although it doesn't have that much personalization to your brand. While other schedulers, such as Hootsuite, for example, they're trying to take it to another level. They're creating a sub-brand with their AI. That, for example, Hootsuite's one is called Owly, and it will help you generate ideas. For example, if you're brainstorming, it will be there to help you. And it also, you can upload your tone of voice, your brand guidelines, for it to actually improve on any post that you want to create based on the content session. So it's an added extra, a helper, a companion to your content creation for social media, while other schedulers right now are just starting with generating, just like in ChatGPT.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting and one to watch. And I think with social results, it's really important to keep a track of using the tools versus doing it manually and looking at which gives you the best results. I think these tools are always learning, but as we've known from our own experiences, it's not always the best for your community. So it's really worth keeping a really close eye on.
Something that we've talked about as well in the event, now that schedulers are including AI, we're using creative tools like Midjourney, Adobe Firefly. What could be the backlash of using these in your social media posts? We've seen that there's a huge divide. For example, a very famous backlash was the San Francisco Ballet, where they auto-generated all their imagery for a promotion of the Nutcracker. And that created a very big backlash across their audience, who did not like that they didn't use humans, they didn't use graphic designers for this creation.
Yeah, it's really interesting that that whole subject actually, and how, you know, testing out and being innovative with using creative can sometimes have a backlash. And I think sometimes just, you know, have things that are new often can create that. But for something like a theatre, or, you know, maybe even industries that don't have those big budgets and are trying to, you know, produce marketing assets to get there, you know, is it that terrible that they've used a new tool that can then help them promote a show that is still using, is an artisan craft and is still using people and generating jobs? I think it's a really interesting, I kind of see both sides to it.
Yeah, I agree. I think in terms of backlash, I think it's all about knowing your audience and making sure that if you are using AI for a huge campaign, maybe introducing it more in a fun way, or in a way that you help your audience know that there is a reason behind this. But it's all about trying new things and knowing how it will react. It's very important, I think, to maybe disclose that you'll be using AI or you're using AI, but that is something that is happening right now within the social media platforms. Do we need to disclose for AI, or will we need to in the future, is something that might prevent backlash or even initiate it even more?
Yeah, it's such an interesting topic around to disclose or not to disclose, and are you going to be forced to? I remember back when the kind of rise of the influencer slash is this a paid advert or has this influencer been paid to test your product? And that kind of came and went. It was like a thing that, and a hashtag that people got used to. I kind of assume that whether you're using AI or not is going to become that as well. It will just start to appear. People will just get very used to it. It probably will become more common than not, and it will just become part of our daily behavior, especially in the marketing world.
Yeah, we've seen it with TikTok, where now they have their AI generated label. So whenever you're scrolling on a video and it has AI generated content, that could be a voiceover, imagery, video, any part of it, even if it's not 100% AI generated, it will have a label. And for example, YouTube takes another way where it's more optional. So we are seeing it coming through now more and more. And as you said, it's just like the paid partnership or labeling beauty filters. I think it will be part of a norm in social media.
I think so far in terms of disclosure, it's only TikTok, maybe a couple of others that have pushed for you to be disclosing already. It's not a common thing just yet. I think it will definitely come. What do you think?
Yes, I do think it will be something that will be shown. We've seen it with X, for example, formerly Twitter, that they will be looking at incorporating a hashtag when anything is AI generated, or banning things that are not disclosed or are trying to give false information. For example, I think last week there was an AI generated image of the Eiffel Tower on fire that looked very realistic, but it was banned from X after it wasn't disclosed that it was AI and was trying to report false information. So I do think that if people want to keep their content within the guidelines of a specific social media platform, disclosing will be the way to go.
And I think as you start to use more of these tools and you start to strategize as we go into the next financial year, I think one of the common themes that came out of our discussion is it's like these tools are like the sandwich filler around the human touch, and the human touch is before and after. And I personally think we're going to have the human touch like that sandwich for quite a while the tools and the intelligence of it is growing in intelligence, literally. It still requires that human touch. And I think as even when we're strategizing and budgeting marketing in the future, the budgets will become less on creation and production because you can get a lot more with less now. There's much better tools for a lot less money, and you can do it a lot faster. But actually, you will really be spending more time and budget on the thinking around it, which is where I think that, the future kind of marketing team sits. It's just super interesting to see how this just is continuing to develop at such an incredible speed. And I'm looking forward to, continuing to review it and recording our thoughts on it. Addie, thanks so much for joining me and the input. And it was a great presentation at the event. If you are listening to this and interested in our Marketing Moments events, do just check them out. You can find them in the event sections at durhamrose.com. They are towards the end of the month, every month in our Soho offices. It'd be really cool to see you there and part of our growing community. Thank you for listening to Marketing Insights by Durham Rose. We look forward to sharing more of our thoughts around everything marketing related, and do follow us and subscribe.